Well, it's so exciting to be back in the house. I was so excited today. If you notice, I darted out of here. I'd forgot to put the microphone on. I was thinking about where I was a few weeks ago in Mexico, sitting by the pool. As you know, I have a tendency to have a little color to me. So please forgive me. I am the reason why winter will continue because I've missed 2 weeks and I'm really upset about it and I really want it to extend. So I've been praying that God will extend winter for a few weeks so I can enjoy winter a few days longer. Don't stone me. But if you're a guest here, we are so honored that you are here. You could have gone to any other church. You could have gone anywhere else that you chose to come here. I hope that you have a great experience. The people that are running for office, I hope you have a great experience. I hope that everyone here understands this, that we are not here for any other reason than to give glory to who we believe is King of Kings and Lord of Lords, and that is Jesus. And so our aim is not to offend. Our aim is to give glory to the one worthy of glory. And so we are on this series, He is Him. Man, we've asked the question, is God even real? That was the first sermon that we had while I was gone. We also talked last week about this idea of evil in the world. Is there evil in the world and what's it all about? And today we're going to address this question, is Jesus the only way to heaven? Why is that? Why is there only one way to heaven? Why is it that we claim there is only one way? But before we do this, I want you to understand something, that we know this, that we would, from a human perspective, think there are a lot of really good people who don't believe that Jesus is the only way. We have brothers, sisters, coworkers, friends. The reality is this, that if we measured goodness and the chance to go to heaven in the way somebody acts and is nice and kind, there are better people in the world than most Christians today. I'm just here to tell you. My sister married an individual who was a non-believer, and I'm telling you what, John was the nicest guy I know. So for us to ask the question, hey, is Jesus the only way? What happens to people like that? I think the question we really got to ask ourselves is this. Ask yourself, when did we decide that good people go to heaven? Ask yourself that question. Why is it that when we think about heaven, we think, oh, that's where good people go? The simple reality is that no one has the authority to claim that good people go to heaven. Matter of fact, the Bible, just so you know, does not say good people go to heaven. Ouch. That's right, good people are not claimed to go to heaven in the Bible. The very opposite is true. Jesus says this, why do you call me good? There is none good except one, God alone. Romans 3:10 says this, as it is written, none is righteous, not one. No one understands, no one seeks for God. All have turned aside, together they have become worthless. No one does good, not even one. The truth is this, there are no good people in heaven. Because there are no good people. Now, I know you're like, that, Pastor Ron, that is so depressing. I think the reality is when we think of good, we are measuring ourselves against ourselves. And so because we are so good in our own hearts and minds, we think that other people must be as good as us, and therefore they're good. But when we measure ourselves next to God, that is not the case. Some would say that great religions of the world have followers that are dedicated to following their religion, and they're all in and they're fully committed, and seems unlikely. Matter of fact, it actually seems cruel to say, listen, they're not gonna make it to heaven. Man, they're so sincere about their faith. How can you self-righteous individual say Jesus is the only way when there are so many other people out there? Someone claimed that when we say Jesus is the only way to heaven, it's not loving, it's spiteful, it's hateful, it's mean-spirited, it's arrogant, it's inconsiderate, it's closed-minded, intolerant of others. Seemingly, very smart people would say it's preposterous or laughable to even claim that Jesus is the only way. So with all these people saying, listen, there is no way that Jesus is the only way, how can this statement be true? It's a great question. If you have all intellect at all, you would have to ask yourself, why do I believe Jesus is the only way? First thing you need to understand is this, that Everyone thinks they know the way. So it's not just Christianity that says just Jesus is the only way. Every religion and every individual thinks that their way is the right way. If you ask somebody on the street and you say, hey, listen, do you think you're going to heaven? What do they normally say? Yeah, I think I'm going to make it. Guess what they're claiming? They're claiming that they know the way. They're exclusive. They're saying, listen, I believe I know the way, and I believe I'm going to make it there. The guy who says, listen, I'm not making it. What are they claiming? They're claiming they know the way, and it's not the way they're living. So they know the way. The way is not the way that they're doing it. It's another way. How about the guy that says, there is no heaven? What's he claiming? He's claiming the way is death. Just so you know. He's not claiming there is no, he's saying, listen, there is no afterlife. So the way to that spot that there is not life is death. And so therefore death is it. And it's all over. See, everybody has a way. Religions of the world are no different. If a religion says, listen, all ways lead to heaven, guess what? That's their way. And if you say there is, no, that's not true. There's only one way that leads to heaven. Then guess what? You're in conflict with them because they say all ways and you say one way. Or somebody else says their way is the right way. So listen, everyone has a position. I need you to understand that as we talk about this idea that Jesus is the only way. Each religion believes they are right about the afterlife and that their way is right in the way to get there. But let me just share with you the truth. The truth is that there can only be one way to heaven. And you say, well, that's because the Jesus, the Bible says that. No, we're going to talk about that. But the truth is this, there is only one way to heaven. And how can I be absolutely confident in this truth, in this truth statement? It's because of the reason of logic. Logically, there can only be one way to heaven. Logic plays a huge part in all things we think. Logic is the basis of truth. Without logic, our world is chaos. By the way, everyone who thinks that the world is chaos and created by accident or in some fashion or some way, a different way, listen, their mindset is not working around logic. And everybody in this room, every one of you, lives by logic. You live by the laws of logic, the reality of logic. What are these laws of logic? Here they are. There are three of them. First one is identity, the law of identity. This idea that we're going to talk about in just a second. The law of excluded middle. The excluded middle and the law of non-contradiction. Listen, every one of you, if you want to have consistency, if you want to run a government, if you want to run your family life, if you want to have a society, must believe in these three laws because they are laws, they are truth, they are unavoidable, they are the reality that we live in, that God has placed us in, because God is, by the way, a logical God, and he fits all three of these laws. There is no exception. The law of identity. Wow, what is this? Something is what it says it is. Really confusing, isn't it? Something is what it says it is. In other words, how we define something is its existence. The things that exist have specific properties and identity to them. There is no exception, none whatsoever. Of course, today in politics and in society, we have this situation. The question is this: are humans more than just male and female? The answer to that question is no. They are male, and they are either male or female. There is no other way. They are identified that way. Listen, it's not even about anatomy, just so you know. It's not about anatomy, and it's not even about emotions. We get caught up in this idea like, oh, they have male parts, so they're a male. They have women parts, so they're a woman. Or, oh, but their mind says that they're a man, or their mind says that they're a woman. I said, that's all garbage. The reality is this. A man, he has X, Y chromosomes. And a female has XX chromosomes. The end of the story, identity. Man, woman. Now, hey, don't get all excited. I'm not getting political. Okay, I'm not getting political. I'm making a point. This is an obvious, simple, logical truth that society must maintain to maintain non-chaos. When we choose things that are not what they are, then we fall completely apart. We must realize humanity cannot change the truth. It's illogical conclusion. I'll give you an example that's a little less political. By the way, I did not know the politicians were going to be here today, so please forgive me when I prepared this message. Don't think I did that on purpose. I did not. The question is this. This is a piece of gold. It's beautiful. I'm telling you that it's gold. It is absolutely gold. I treat it as gold. I value it as gold. I proclaim it as gold. Man, I want to force others of you to believe that this is gold. This is the most beautiful piece of gold you have ever witnessed. By the way, would you like to buy it? I think it weighs about 3 ounces, man. It's worth $6,000 for sure. Right here, will somebody give it to me? It's gold. You're like, you are crazy. That is correct. Because no matter how much I declare this is gold, I can paint it gold, I can make it a necklace, I can say it's the most beautiful thing in all the world. Guess what? It's a rock. This rock has no value. I just picked it out of the backyard here just a second ago. You see, logic says this, the identity of that is a rock. It is not gold. We cannot change these rules. And to do so is chaos. Because then everybody's little piece of whatever becomes gold. Therefore, what happens to gold? It has no meaning, no value. Men and women are no different. No different. The law of identity is fundamental to our existence. And by the way, it's not homophobic or transphobic to be a logical person. It's reasonable, normal, scientific to believe that men are men and women are women. It's not unloving, intolerant, or hateful to be logical and rational. I think we believe that our own position of just common sense logic has made us enemies of people who we're not enemies with. I am not an enemy with those who think that way. I am just simply saying that the truth must be the truth and everything else must be something else that is not the truth. That's all. Now, listen, this is fundamental for us to understand that Jesus is the only way, by the way. Again, this is not a political statement. It had no idea to be political. The second thing is this, the law of middle exclusion. What is this excluded middle? What is this about us that we say, hey, logically, there cannot be two things in the middle. They're either right or they're wrong. They're true or they're not. There is no half truth and half false. There is no in the middle. We have this law all the time. Here's a great one for you. Again, I didn't mean to be political, but here we go. Here's the idea. I want you to know something, that conception, life starts at conception. You say, I don't believe that's true. Well, that's great, but I just want you to know the only time life begins is when two people hook up. And something happens during that period of time. It's called conception. And after that hookup time, guess what happens? Babies get born. Now, there's no mystery into saying, hey, well, 15 weeks later, they become a baby. Well, guess what? It wasn't spontaneous combustion 15 weeks later that created a baby. There is no excluded middle. We can't say, well, in this situation, this is not a life. Huh. Well, how's that working for you? Did your kids become dogs? Or something else? Actually, I shouldn't say that because many of you have dogs for kids. Oh, let's not go there. The excluded middle logically has to play a part in our lives. It is absolutely true. We cannot find ourselves in opposition to this idea. This is not controversial. It's a logical argument. There is nothing in the middle that can be correct. 2 + 2 cannot be 3. It's always 4. It cannot work. Listen, if you have an idea of English, which, by the way, I do not, so I am not a great authority on this, but I'm telling you, I've been told words have to be spelled a certain way. My wife tells me all the time, that's not how you spell that. I say, well, it's how it sounds. She says, it doesn't matter how it sounds. This is how you spell it. I'm like, that's not right. I'm not right. There's only one way to spell the English language. We cannot make up our own language and say, oh, this is how you spell red, D-O-G. It's just illogical. The third law is the law of non-contradiction. The law of non-contradiction states that contradictory positions cannot both be true in the same sense that they are at the same time. In other words, at the same sense, at the same time, both things can't be true. Here's a great example. Non-political, by the way. You cannot have two winners of the same game. Parents. When your kids go to club and play sports, everyone doesn't get a trophy. Someone lost. I'm sorry that the reality of logic plays a part here. But when you tell your kid, son, you're a winner, and you lost by 30, you're just a liar. You could say, hey, you're a winner in life. You can say, hey, you're a winner because you look really good. But you're not a winner in the competition. You're not a winner in the sport. There can be no contradiction. Wow. Seems obvious, right? You guys are all like, I can't believe you wasted service time to tell us this obvious common sense stuff. And yet, look around. You see, God is logical. He is not illogical. He does not break these laws in his existence. Why? Because they don't work any other way. This is who we are. The laws of logic apply to our topic today. The law of identity, exclusion of the middle, the law of non-contradiction. It all plays a part in the answering the question, is Jesus the only way to heaven? And this is a great, great question. Here's how we know this. Can a perfect God contradict himself? Well, the very definition of perfect would say that contradiction cannot be in perfection. So therefore, the law of contradiction, God must be perfect. The Word of God, can it contradict itself? Well, it's claiming to be the Word of God, then it cannot contradict itself. It must be truth, or it must be a lie. Based on logic, they cannot claim to be both truthful and a lie at the same time. This brings us to our question. Is Jesus the only way to heaven? The logical truth claim is what? We have to ask ourselves. First, if Jesus is not the only way to heaven, I need you to understand something. If Jesus is not the only way to heaven, I need you to grasp this truth. Christianity is a farce, a lie. We should not be any part of it. It's a joke. Did you hear me? If Jesus Christ is not the only way to heaven, all things Christian are stupid, ignorant, moronic, illogical, foolishness. Now put your mind around that. This is the reality of the laws of logic. It absolutely must be true. John 14:6 says this. Jesus saying this, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through who? Me. Jesus himself, truth claim, words that come out of his mouth, the one who claims to be God, is saying, I am the way, I am the only truth, and I am the life, and no one, no human being will see the Father, will enter heaven without coming through me. Now, you can say amen, but the reality is you are in a dilemma. You have to ask yourself the logical question. He's either lying or he is the Son of God. Now, a few years back, this incredible theologian and seeker of truth came out and said, there are many ways to heaven. Her name is Oprah Winfrey. And she decided publicly, out loud, it's crazy to think there's only one way to heaven because I have so many friends that think they're going to heaven. They know they're going to heaven. They're definitely going to heaven. Now, I want to ask you a question. What authority does Oprah Winfrey have to say there are more than one way to heaven? I'm going to ask you the question. How much authority do you have to claim that there is another way to heaven? How much authority do I have to claim there is another way to heaven? When Jesus himself said, I am the only way to heaven. Does Jesus have now more authority, or do I have more authority? It's a great question to ask. When somebody says, oh, there's more than one way to heaven, you say, well, what authority do you have to make that claim? Like, what have you done? Have you walked on water? Like, I'd love to see that. Have you done something that gives you this authority? The truth is, we have to have that. There has to be something that gives us the authority, logically, to say, I have the way, or this is the way. We have to have logic. Now listen to this. This is a sad truth for our whole church. 58% of modern evangelicals believe there's more than one way to heaven. 60% under 40 believe that there are more than one way to heaven. Wow. Man, I can understand other religion. I can understand Oprah, for crying out loud. But how is it that the church is claiming that there is more than one way to heaven? They clearly haven't read what Jesus actually says, or they want to reinterpret it in the way in which they want. Hosea says this. Why are they saying this? It's for a lack of knowledge of the truth. It is simple because it is illogical to believe that. The lack of knowledge of the truth, we will be destroyed. Hosea 4:6 says this, my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge because they have rejected knowledge. I reject you from being the priest to me. And so you have forgotten my law of your God. I also will have forgotten, I will forget your children. In other words, listen, when you forget me, when you are become illogical in your thinking, when you find yourself drifting away from the reality of logical, I am God and I am the way, you are going to find yourself lost. Your children are going to be lost. Look at our country. Does it look like our children are thriving in moral excellence? Or are they drowning in struggle? Man, look at our streets. They're full of troubles. It's not getting better. It's getting worse. Why is it getting worse? We're turning our back on the truth, the knowledge of God. Listen, Paul told Timothy this, 1 Timothy 2:3. This is good and is pleasing in the sight of God, our Savior, who desires all people to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. For there is one God and there is one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus. Wow. Jump to chapter 3 and verse 1. It says this, but understand this, in last days there will come times of difficulty. For people will be lovers of self, lovers of money, proud, arrogant, abusive, disobedient to their parents, ungrateful, unholy, heartless, unappeasable, slanderous, without self-control, brutal, not loving good, treacherous, reckless, swollen with conceit, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, having the appearance of godliness but denying its power. Avoid such people, for among them are those who creep into households and capture weak women, burned with sins and led astray by various passions. Then he says this in verse 7, always learning but never arriving at the knowledge of the truth. Listen, there's a lot of spiritual people in this world. They're striving, they're looking, they're trying to find it, they're doing all that they can, but they're unwilling to recognize that Jesus is the only way, and therefore they find themselves never arriving at the truth. So many religions don't believe they can know they're going to heaven because they just don't know whether they've arrived at the truth. I want you to know you can know that you are going to heaven. So is Jesus logically the only way to heaven as he claims to be? Is it? What makes us say that? There are three things, and I've got to go through them quickly. The first thing is this. Jesus was resurrected from the grave. This is argument number one. I want you to know this. Jesus was resurrected from the grave. Anybody who says that didn't happen has no authority to actually say so, just so you know. If you say, hey, where's your authority? Show me and prove it to me. They cannot. Why can they? Why can't they? Because there is no evidence to the contrary. It happened. It is a historical fact. Historians all believe Jesus lived. Jesus died on the cross. His disciples saw him alive. They claimed, if you take historical criticism, it is absolutely undeniable, the Bible. That's why it has lasted so long. It is an undeniable argument. What are some of those arguments? Wow. How about this one? Undeniable argument, Jesus lived. Undeniable argument number two, Jesus died by crucifixion. Undeniable argument number three, Jesus' disciples touched the resurrected Jesus after he arose from the dead. Not only that, a persecutor of the Christian church, the people who were out to actually kill the Christians who made the claim, who had seen Jesus, Paul, he was transformed because he then became an eyewitness and became the biggest pro-advocate of Jesus. His brother, who was a skeptic, and you know brothers, they know it all, said, I don't believe Jesus is real. And yet, when Christ rose from the dead, he fully committed his life to Jesus. Now, don't be offended by this last truth, and we're going to get into this by this on Easter, so I don't want to ruin my whole sermon. But listen, the Bible claims that women were the first people who saw the resurrected, the empty tomb. I want you to know something. In this culture, That's the worst storyline you could have ever come up with. Back then, if a woman said something to a man, they'd go like, yeah, talk to my hand. Now, I know they're still saying that, but don't do that. In this culture, if a woman came out and said, hey, the tomb was empty, it would have been laughed at. There would have been no authority. Nobody would have cared. But the mere fact that Jesus chose women to find him and use it as the storyline that women are valuable is incredible. It is the truth. So by using historical criticism, the logic is this, that the Bible is accurate in its accordings. And by the way, the people who say the book, there's only one book. No, this book is a lot of books put together, different writers, different times. That's a whole nother sermon, and we're going to be talking about that next week. Wow. It has endured this truth, opposing kings. It has endured the persecution and this idea of prosecution. I want you to understand this. The Christian faith has been under attack for 2,000 years. Kings have tried to destroy it, prove it wrong. There have been courts that have tried to try it and prove it wrong. They have all fallen short. It has endured heresy, perversion, scrutiny, skepticism. It has faced more opposition than any other historical event in the history of the world. And yet, it has stood. Why? Because it's the truth. Gravity is real. Christ rising from the dead is real. It is truthful. It is historical. Argument number two. Jesus was God. You're like, whoa. I can say Jesus was this really cool guy, and he did a lot of really cool things. And, you know, yeah, historically I could say, okay, he rose from the dead, but God, I mean, matter of fact, that opposes the laws of logic. How in the world can Jesus be God? That can't happen. That's illogical. Matter of fact, there are many religions in the world that would say that's not possible. I want you to understand something. It is absolutely logical to believe that Jesus is in himself God. Here's a quote by Tim Stratton. This is the best way to describe the understanding of who God is and how Jesus is God. We worship one what and three whos. When one distinguishes between the what and the whos, one can see that there is no logical contradiction between saying that Jesus is God. It's not a contradiction of the law of identity, and it's not a contradiction of the idea of non-contradiction. What do I mean by that? This is simple. I want you to breathe this in. God is not just the Father. God is not just the Son. God is not just the Holy Spirit. God is the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. There is no contradiction. Jesus is fully God, without question. It is truthfulness. How about this? John 1:1. We'll ask the Bible. What does it say? How do we know this? And you can say, well, I don't believe the Bible. We'll get into that later. But let's just read John 1:1. It says this, in the beginning was the Word. And the Word was with God, and the Word was God. In the beginning, He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through him, and without him, not anything was made that was made. He's a creator. In him was life, and the life was the light of all men. And the light shines in darkness, and the darkness was not overcome by it. Man, there was a man sent with God whose name was John. And he came as a witness to bear witness about the light that all might believe through him. He was not the light. John the Baptist was not the light, but he came to bear witness about the light, the true light, which gives light to everyone that was coming into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made through him, and yet the world did not what? Know him. He came to his own. He came to his people. He came to his creation, and his own people did not receive him. But all who did receive him, who believed in his name, he gave the right to become the children of God, who were born not of blood, nor of will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. For the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, as we have seen his glory, the glory as of the only Son from the Father, full of grace and truth. Oh, my word. You see, Jesus, by his own word, by his own testimony, is the Son of God, God himself. How do we say this? Like, what? I mean, come on. You guys, listen. I mean, really? Well, he raised people from the dead. He walked on water. He fed 5,000 people with 2 fish and 5 loaves. He healed the blind from birth. He healed the lame. And then ultimately, he raised himself from the grave. I mean, these acts are supernatural if you didn't know. If you didn't know. We're not talking about science here. We're talking about someone outside of science. We're talking about someone who has power over the physical nature of life. There is only one who can do that, the person outside of that, who is Christ himself. We can logically and historically, and not to mention prophetically and archaeologically, believe that Jesus Christ is, in fact, God himself. Wow. Wow. I don't know about you, but it seems to be overwhelming. Now you say, well, listen, I'm a science person. I believe that science is the truth, and that if it's not provable through science, then it's not right. Well, I just want you to know that science today is not really science when it says, hey, here's the model. Listen, if you can't make it happen, if you can't do it over and over and over and over and over and come up with an ending, I just want you to know that's not science, that's guessing. If you say, hey, the world is 1 billion years old, you're like, hey, that's not science, that's called guessing. Science is reproducible. Science is when something says, this is what happened. Do you realize that science actually now claims, the truth claims in the Bible are actually accurate? You see, science now says, listen, we've kind of discovered that all natural things had to have a beginning. What? Like they had to come from nothing and then become something for them to exist. Like there had to be something outside that would have made this. There had to be a cause. Really? Kind of like in the beginning, God created? No. It cannot be that. It's not that. Oh, so what did the creating? Well, we haven't determined that yet. Guys, listen. The Bible has already declared that everything came from nothing. Genesis 1:1 says, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. The earth was without form and void. The earth, the world was, there was nothing. And then, what happened? God spoke. God spoke. Church, it is logical, it is scientifical to believe that there is a God and that Jesus is his son based on the truth of what we know historically and logically. We can come to that conclusion. It had to be supernatural. What does Paul say about this creator? Colossians 1:5 says this. He is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of all creation. Wow. For by him all things were created in heaven and earth, visible and invisible. Whether thrones and dominions or rulers or authorities, all things were created through him and for him. He is before all things and he is in all things and he holds them together. He is the head of the body of the church. He is the beginning, the firstborn of the dead, that in everything he might be preeminent. For in him the fullness of God was pleased to dwell, although, and through him he was to reconcile to himself all things, bringing us to him, whether on earth or heaven, making, listen, peace by the blood of the cross. Listen, it's logical for us to believe Jesus rose from the dead. It is logical for us to believe that God, Jesus, is God himself. And that takes us to this final argument that people just struggle with. I mean, I run into people all the time. This idea is this. The atonement for Jesus makes sense. Listen, the fact that Jesus had to shed his blood and die on the cross actually makes sense. Most people say that I get into arguments with that. That is so illogical, man. That is so ridiculously archaic and heathenistic. I can't believe you're saying that we had to kill someone so the rest of us can go to heaven. That doesn't make sense to me. Wow. You know what? It does. At first, illogically speaking, or if I just knew what I knew, I'd say, yeah, that's a good argument. But is it? Is it illogical? The actual truth is it's the opposite of illogical. It is absolutely logical that Jesus would have to die on the cross for you and I and raise from the dead. Let's start down this journey. Why is it logical? Well, first is this. You have to realize that you and I, we are not perfect. So God is holy, perfect. We clearly are not. I can look around the room. Actually, I don't have to look anywhere. I can look right here. I am not perfect, and I will never be perfect until I die and Christ makes me perfect. So, we are not perfect. God is perfect. Therefore, there is a separation between us and him. There is this odd difference. How can we spend eternity in heaven with a righteous, holy person when we ourselves are not righteous and holy? We are short. We fall short. We are sinners. Genesis 3:19 says this, "By the sweat of your face you shall eat bread till you return to the ground, for out of it you were taken, for you are dust, and to dust you shall return." This is the curse of man. Man rejected God. He sinned against God, and God said, listen, you're going to die. That's going to be the consequence of your sin. Romans chapter 5, verse 12 says this, "Therefore, just as sin came into the world through one man, and death through sin, and so death separated, spread to all men, because all have what? All have sinned." This is not illogical. This is common sense. Everyone in the room knows this is true. There's nobody in here thinks, oh, I'm sinless. I'm good enough to go to heaven. Yeah, great. Good luck with that. Let's just play your life on this video screen. We'll see what everybody thinks. Nobody would want that. You see, this idea that sin has caused death. I want you to put that in your mind. Sin has caused death. And so we have this quandary. This sin, this separation, this act against God has created death. And we see death all around us, do we not? Death is real and it needs to be overcome. And logically, for us to enjoy an eternal life, death has to be overcome, right? In other words, when we die, something has to be overcome so we can have eternal life. That is a completely logical thought. That is absolutely makes sense. Wow. Death is the product of sin. And the only way to overcome death is to be what? Sinless. It is impossible for man, but not impossible for God. In other words, if one was to live sinless life, just so you know, death would have no power over that person. In other words, sinlessness is eternity. If you can live sinless, you will live eternal. In the garden, Adam, if he would have remained sinless, would have remained eternal. This is logical. Wow. I don't know about you, but I don't think you and I have a chance. Because we're not sinless and we cannot live sinlessly. Listen, this is why. This is why not only Jesus is the only way, but he had to come as a virgin born. Because the wages of sin did not pass through man to him. I want you to grasp that reality. We don't celebrate the virgin birth just because we think of some crazy little cool thing. No, he had to be virgin born because he had to be sinless perfection. And because sin goes through the man and not the woman, God allowed. Women are like, hallelujah, I know that was true. God had to do this. He had to come as through a virgin. See, no other religious person, by the way. When we talk about other religions and them saying they know the way, no other religion claims that they have someone who has overcome death and that's the way. In other words, it's all about works. They're on the flesh side. They're on the humanity side trying to work, work, work to be good enough to measure up to God. And I'm just telling you, you can go through 1,000 reincarnations. You ain't making it. I'm telling you, the religions that believe this idea that somehow you get there because you did some good stuff and outweigh, that's illogical. That's an illogical thought. We know that Jesus had no sin in him. 1 John 3:5 says, in him there was no sin. Jesus was worthy of paying the debt because he was sinless. We also know that we are not, because Romans 3:23 says, all have sinned and come short of the glory. We don't even need the Bible to say that. We know that's true. So logically, this is the story. If the consequences of sin is death, and the payment for sin would be overcoming death, right? If the consequences of sin is death, then we must overcome death. It couldn't be by works. It can't be by words. I mean, politicians are great at saying stuff, but you know, it's not what they say. It's what actually happens that is right, right? So we have the same scenario in our own lives, husbands and wives. When you say something to your wife and you don't do it, guess what? You're a liar. I didn't say that out loud. So here we go. This is not by works. It's not by words. It had to be God, the sinless one. It had to be God. He's the only one with the authority to even choose, listen to me, to reconcile the relationship. We don't have the authority to demand God to reconcile our relationship with him by what we do. It's only God who allows us to be reconciled by what he does, because we don't have any authority. We are authorityless. Wow. Therefore, giving the Creator the right to pardon those whom he wishes to pardon. Listen, the reason why it has to be God, because God is the one who gets to choose. He's the one worthy that we worship to pardon us. It's all about him. It is not about us. John 3:18 says this, whoever believes in him is not condemned. This is Jesus speaking. But whoever does not believe is condemned already, because he does not believe in the name of the only Son of God. Whosoever believes in the Son has eternal life, but whosoever does not obey the Son of God shall not see life, but the wrath of God remains on him. On him. Why? Because he has not chosen to believe in the method, the way, the only way to the Father, which is through Jesus Christ. It is logical. It is logical. If logically God is, if logically Jesus is God, if logically Jesus rose from the grave, if logically Jesus had to die to provide a way, guess then it's logically to believe that Jesus is the only way to heaven. There is no other way. If you study the other faiths of the world, if you study the other opinions of the world, you will come up short, because it is illogical to believe that we can work our way to heaven, or that there is more than one way to heaven. There is only one way, and it is God himself who allows us. 1 Timothy 2:3, this is good and is pleasing in the sight of God our Savior, who desires all people. I want you to understand this. When we say God is a God of love, this is the definition of that. God is not love because he tolerates your sinfulness. That's not what love is, the love of God is. The love of God is that in spite of your sinfulness, he has made a way for you to be reconciled to him. So don't believe the lie. Oh, God's a God of love. He tolerates all sin. No. No, God is the way, and he has made a way in spite of our sin for us to be reconciled to him. For there is one God, and there was one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus, who gave himself as a ransom for all, which is the testimony given at the proper time. My friends, heaven is real, and Jesus is the only way. And I hate to tell you this, but there are no good people in heaven. There are only saved ones. Let me say that again. There are no good people in heaven. None. So don't say, oh, that person's good, they're going to make it. There's no good people there. The only people that make it to heaven are believers in Jesus Christ. Those who place their faith in what he did on the cross. Those who received the gift of God, which is the power of resurrection that he displayed in and of himself. Only God can pay for your sin. Only God has made a way, and he is calling you because he did it so that none would perish. No one. The entire world is welcome to receive Jesus and go to heaven. Do you understand me? The entire world is welcome to receive Jesus and go to heaven. You have to declare him as Lord. You have to believe that he is true. You have to believe his word is true. You have to follow him, decide to go his way. You can't stay in your sin and do whatever you want, because that's denying that you actually believe that Jesus is, in fact, God. My friends, if you're here today and you've never given your life to Jesus, I'm asking you, will you do so? I'm begging you. Jesus is the only way, not because it's a hateful, radical, crazy thought. Jesus is the only way because he is God. Jesus is the only way because he rose from the dead, proving that he had power over the sin in your life. He rose from the dead and proved that sin had no hold on him. and he's living for you. And if you would confess his and believe it, his Holy Spirit would come in with you, and you would be a son and a daughter of Jesus Christ, welcomed into the kingdom. My friend, if that's you today, today's the day. Now is the time. Give your life to Jesus. He's the only way. Let's stand with our heads bowed. As we close this service, I just want to beg you. These words are not mine. This argument is not mine. We serve a logical and rational God who has made a way for humanity to be restored to him in a way in which makes sense. And I'm telling you, if you found yourself doubting, if you're a Christian here and you said, oh, I thought there was more than one way and I think it's okay, I want you to know something. Rid that thought of your mind. If you're here today and you know somebody who's just struggling with the reality that Jesus is the only way, I hope today you'll be able to pray for them. You'll be able to ask God to give you wisdom and how to share the truth to them, because Jesus loves them and his desire is for them to be reconciled to him, the creator of the universe. So church, it's prayer time. I'm asking, will you come and pray?